Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
Kathy Wood joining us now, CEO and CIO of ARK Invest. And Kathy, obviously, CPI, you saw it cool across the board in October, both on headline and on core. And to say the least, the market reaction has been pretty swift. Curious to hear your thoughts, though. When you think about what this means for the Fed, is it safe to say that we've seen the last Fed rate hike of this cycle?
First of all, I'll say I agree with almost everything Ken Griffin just said, except his comments about the Fed. For some time now, we've been saying that the Fed has overdone it and that the greater risk here is deflation. Yes, the CPI did not surprise us at all, although there were rumors that revisions would take it higher than many people thought. And so we believe we're beginning to see deflationary trends in many more sectors now. It started with commodities. Now we're seeing airline prices coming down, auto prices coming down, and we're seeing staples prices. They have been sticky, but what's happened to staples volumes? They have gone down. That's not how you run manufacturing plants. So we think that they will be forced into cutting prices as well. You heard Home Depot today, negative 3.8% comp store sales here in the United States. And if you look at the S&P 500, I think a third of all companies in the S&P 500 are reporting negative revenue growth. What we have characterized the last 2 years as a rolling recession. Some measures of housing are down 40%. Mm-hmm. That's a recession. Autos, 15 million units in the U.S., that's kind of punk. It's recession-like. And we're seeing these volume declines in staples.
Right.
You've got consumers pulling back. So I think the Fed's overdone it. I think we're going to see a lot more deflation going forward. We are going to hit that two handle, and we will go below it, and would not be surprised to see CPI inflation negative at some point next year.
Well, Kathy, if that materializes, let's talk about how the Fed responds, because as we've been talking about, you have seen traders really pull forward their pricing for rate cuts next year. Add to that, what do you think this translates to in terms of magnitude of rate cuts that the Fed will have to deliver?
Well, if we're right, and they've gone way too far, they'll have to cut fairly significantly. I tweeted, although I don't know if I use the word tweet anymore, on X, I put a chart which showed the ratio of metals prices to gold prices and charted it against long-term interest rates. We've never seen this big of a gap. The metals to gold price indicator is saying deflation is the risk. It's down near the low end of a range. And the long-term treasury yield is way above where it should be. In fact, this metric would suggest, if you just eyeballed the chart, and it's not perfect, 2% would be the right level of rates. So I actually said that in my last In the Know YouTube video. 2% rates, that was the reason, just looking at price signals that the Fed does not seem to be paying attention to.
I'm curious, Kathy, about that. I mean, based on that, and I remember seeing that chart, and I've looked at that same ratio. I mean, that would imply that basically where we're at right now, in the mid to high fours, closer to 5%, that we need to get back down somewhere around 2% here. And I can't really see how that happens without either a significant economic downturn or just what would just be an unprecedented pivot by the Fed.
I think we're in a rolling recession, and it will continue. I think consumers are basically saying no mas when it comes to pricing. We're seeing that in volume numbers. Mm-hmm. And so if companies can no longer get pricing, what's going to happen? Their margins, which have held up, are going to get crushed. And we do think that's the case. Now, they've held on to employees who were very difficult to get during the rebound from COVID, reluctant to let them go because it was such a struggle to bring them on. I think that's going to change. They're going to be responding to margin pressures. And we do think you're going to see more unemployment during the next 3, 6, 9 months mm-hmm. in an election year. Yeah. So it will really get a lot of attention.
Well, I'm curious as to what this then means for financial markets. I mean, let's just kind of go with this, that this is the hypothetical that the Fed remains behind the curve. They don't react enough, and the economic consequences are severe, even if it's not a recession, but they are severe enough that it significantly limits consumer spending and, for that matter, even business spending. How does that sort of factor in, I guess, to the growth story with a lot of the stocks that I think so many people have embraced this year based on this idea that there was a longer-term structural story in a lot of those names? How does that change, if at all?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you're referring to our ilk of stock. We're very focused on innovation platforms that are evolving today, and they're not immune from recession, but they are recession resistant, and they actually gain more traction during tough times because they're better, cheaper, faster, more productive, more creative in terms of new products and services. So they gain more traction in tough times, and then come out of a period like this flying. That has been the history. In terms of strategies like ours, that I think we've paid our dues, 21 and 22. 21, our strategies were down just at the idea that interest rates might move up. And then in 22, they were crushed because interest rates moved up 22-fold, more than they ever have in history, over little more than a year's time. And so we've paid our dues. I think the beginning of this year, the market started to say, okay, inflation's coming down. It peaked at 9. We're coming down, and we were coming down. We had a great year through July, then a little bit of a setback as inflation fears picked up again. But I think today's report is very important in terms of look through there and see the price declines. Mm-hmm. You'll see a number of them. And this idea that deflation is spreading, I think, is going to gain more currency during the next few months.
And Kathy, to that point, you take a look at the ARK Innovation ETF, currently up about 33% or so year to date. I want to switch gears here and talk about what everyone wants to hear about, and that is a potential U.S. spot Bitcoin ETF. I know that you can't say too much about an active filing, but when you think about the process thus far and you think about potential timelines here, do you think that we're going to see spot Bitcoin ETF approval in the U.S. by year end, or is that a 2024 possibility?
Well, we're looking at a change in the SEC's behavior, first and foremost. You know, when we put in our first few filings, they were rejected really out of hand. We got no questions. We had no interaction. That changed this year. And the SEC asked some really good questions. We know that the SEC, certainly on the research staff, is highly sophisticated in terms of understanding what could go right and what could go wrong. The questions were great. We answered those questions. So that was a change in behavior, and we believe other firms had the same experience. That was a change. And our deadline, and we're the first in line, I would say, is January 10th. At that point, this is the final deadline. Either they approve or they deny. What we think could happen, and I'll give one caveat in a moment, is that by that time, they will approve, but not just one. It will be a number of us because they don't want to pick winners. Mm-hmm. So the caveat here is there is Grayscale is out there, and there was some thought that the SEC would allow Grayscale to convert from a grantor trust for Bitcoin to an ETF. Now, I don't know if that was Grayscale's thought or conventional wisdom. There are rumblings that that might not be the case. Grayscale is public in saying that it will sue the SEC again if it is denied. So I don't know if that would hold the timeline up. But if that were not to happen, I think we're getting close.
And so, Kathy, just to make sure I'm understanding that, so if Grayscale were to come out and sue the SEC again, that could actually maybe delay the process before that January 10th potential final deadline.
It may or it may not. You know, the SEC may feel it is standing its ground and this is these are the processes and procedures and Grayscale needs to hew to them and just keep going, or it may not. It is an uncertainty out there, and it's anyone's guess.
And Kathy, talking about the ETF industry, in September, the news came about that ARK was buying Rise ETFs. Now, that is a European-based ETF business. And I've been wanting to ask you this basically since I wrote up that story. Why buy another asset manager to establish a European presence versus just going out and launching ARK ETFs organically?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, the reason we did it was 25% of our subscriber base, now we give our research away, but 25% of the readers are from Europe. We can see that. And the number one question, probably for the last 5 or 6 years, is why can't you issue a UCITS ETF in Europe? And so we started studying that as a strategic option. And we realized Europe is a very complicated market. There is no way an American company, even a well-known brand in our space, can go into Europe and understand all the cultural nuances, all of the regulatory nuances, especially because sustainability in Europe is so important, and they have Article 9, Article 8, their categories, and many companies that declared themselves Article 9. So, you know, they were at the top of the heap in terms of sustainability. Mm-hmm. 70% of them had to downgrade to Article 8. So there are new regulatory nuances. This company, Rise, now ARK Europe, same DNA as ARK, very thematic in their focus, very futures oriented. They self-index their funds, so these are index strategies, but they know their stocks. Unlike another index manager, very often they won't know what's in the portfolio, or if they do know, they won't know the management teams. This one is different and very similar DNA did very well through the sustainability downgrades. Not one of their funds was downgraded in that way.
All right, Kathy, always enjoy speaking to you. Really appreciate your time today. That is Kathy Wood, of course, the CEO, co-founder, CIO of ARK Invest.
What could you do if your data was working for you and not against you? With Bloomberg delivering enterprise data directly to your systems, you get easy access to the details you want, optimized for higher level analysis, and financial data experts committed to helping you maximize your every move. Our data is made for more, so you can show the world what you're made of. Visit Bloomberg.com/enterprise data to learn more.